listening to Law and Gospel on this Ruminations Thursday, November the 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2015, and being a rumination, an opportunity for two pastors to talk about an issue that people are talking about. So with us is our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Good morning, Pastor Baker.
Good morning to you. And is everything doing pretty good up there in Springfield, Illinois?
Well, it's picking up right now.
Something had fallen down?
Anyway.
What had fallen down?
The leaves on the trees.
And they're being picked up?
Yep.
Oh, that's good. Well, we've got an interesting subject that you've chosen for us today. The whole idea about the understanding that some Americans are less religious and that not as many people are going to church as they were years ago?
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting poll that came out of Pew Research. I say interesting because polls, as you know, can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And in the political realm, the polling has been all over the map.
Yes, Ohio definitely was going to pass okay to use marijuana, and it failed big time. And so all the polls were wrong there. Also, I believe the Kentucky governor who got elected, the polls said he had no chance at all, and he got elected very well. So it's really interesting that I believe the assumptions of those who take the polls, as well as how they figure them out, can make a big difference whether or not they're accurate.
I would agree, and I think it makes a big difference in the way you ask questions. You know, the last national elections, I was called up because I'm an independent in a very heavy Republican-Democrat area, and I'd get polling questions, and I would be answering none of the above. And they said, that's not what we asked. And I said, I know that's not what you asked, but I said, you're trying to point the meter one way or one other direction. And I said, that's not the answer to the question that I would give.
Yes, I always give the same comment when I get a poll. They ask me a question. I said, I'll be glad to answer that if you answer this. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And then all of a sudden, there's a click. They hang up. That's also
no,
good.
You're right on target. I put on top of the sheet of the paper as I read through this, where is Jesus to be found in all of this?
Well, because for the poll, religious means not necessarily just Christian. It can mean Muslim. It can mean all kinds of things. So, and I found mixed messages. For example, you pointed out Reuters had one particular point of view, but then I found that another point of view, they were saying something like this, that those who continue to identify with a religious faith are just as committed now as they were in 2007. It's just that there's a little lower percentage. 77% say they identify with religious faith, where there was just over 80% in 2007. But the ones that do commit just as strongly as they did in 2007.
Right, and I think that's important to bring out. They said... Most pundits of statistical research said it was a large sampling size. It was 35,000 people that they contacted in the United States out of 244 million adults. So there you go. You know, you figure out percentages. It's not even a thousandth of a tenth of a percent, you know.
Yes. The other thing is that they had a lot of young people that brought down the numbers. But as we know as pastors, it's almost a certainty in some churches that once a teenager gets confirmed, goes away to college, he tends to fall away from church. But then when he gets married and especially has children that need Sunday school, they tend to come back.
Right. Yeah, that's been a perennial problem that many of our churches have had. How do you keep them, and how do you continue to reach out to them?
From a Lutheran point of view, it doesn't surprise me that because of what is taught in many churches, less people are gravitating towards them. I mean, if I was told again and again that my works make a difference as to whether I'm going to heaven or hell, I don't think I would appreciate God that much, being the kind of judge that comes across in such worship services.
I think that's a point well taken. One of the statistics I pulled out of there is that 2/3 of all Christians believe there are many ways to go to heaven, whereas there was about 30%, and that's still holding steady. Because I did a research on that about 7-8 years ago, about 30% say one way, and of that 30%, they're saying Christ is the only way to heaven.
Yes, on KFUO recently, they had a fellow doing a sermon, I believe, or a Bible study, and he was making the point, can you imagine Jesus saying, I'm not the only way, there are other ways, but I'm a pretty good way.
Yeah. Or, as they said, there's one road that leads to heaven, and it's narrow, and there's a wide gate that leads the other direction.
Well, as Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except
by me.
That's right. So Christianity is really quite interesting. Now, it was of interest to me that there wasn't that much information in the polls as to why people were falling away, especially youth. But I did find some information. For example, Oriana O'Neill, she's a student at Beloit College in Wisconsin. Now, first of all, she comes from a non-religious household, but sometimes prays. But what she says, she thinks the anti-science and anti-gay rhetoric of some politicians may be turning some young people away from religion. And she goes on and says, the idea of Republicans not believing in global warming is contributing to the notion that religious people are not intelligent.
Wow. I mean, you're very uninformed in many respects, because if you talk to some of those folks, they're not bringing their religion into this.
Yes. The fact of the matter is, I think there's two areas in science that young people are really messed up on, and global warming may be one of them, because the amount of change is so insignificant, and you can see it just due to problems that are happening with the weather. And somebody's going to Antarctica because it appears that the ice there is actually growing, not shrinking. And they're trying to figure out why that's happening, which is interesting. The other thing is, of course, evolution.
Right.
Evolution is about as unscientific as you can get. There is no evidence that inanimate objects can become life-giving.
And Christians are not against science. They see the benefits of it. For instance, that big machine they call an MRI that can do scans of various parts or the whole body to take a look inside. That was invented by a Christian doctor.
Oh, yes. No. We can go through and see Christian scientists throughout the ages have done wonderful discoveries, and that doesn't remove God from the picture. It just explains how God now normally works.
Right, through creation.
Yes.
So, we're not against it. We're actually for it. It's of course, some of the abuses that we take out of it.
We have an advertisement here on KFUO I found interesting of Lutheran High students talking about the importance of going to the Lutheran High because of the kind of knowledge that they get, the proper knowledge, and I'm sure that would be in the area of science as well as a proper understanding of homosexuality, etc., and abortion. And That's why so many people are going away from the public schools, because they're not really being taught according to reality.
Right. Well, you know, when you look at these polls, I pulled out 2 Timothy chapter 4, where the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting ears to tickle. Isn't some of this polling really more of an old nature, what's in it for me?
Yes. Yeah, it always is. And you have to trust the pollsters, and many of them already have a kind of a point of view. But as you said, the way you ask a question, I can, as you well know, when I begin sermons, you would think nobody in the congregation is a Christian because they never get the answer right.
Yeah, I've seen you did it at our Reformation service too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did it at the Reformation. And this Sunday, I'm preaching at Emmanuel Olivet on Saturday and Sunday. And I've already warned them ahead of time that I'm going to start with a question and everybody's going to pretty well get it wrong. And the reason for that is that I've trained myself to be able to ask questions to the old Adam, and therefore the new Adam doesn't participate in the answer. And that's what the sermon does. It gets people to start thinking according to your new man rather than your old Adam. And your new man thinks like God does, but your old Adam never does.
Right, yep. You got to the point. And I said, from God's point of view, that was the question I put right underneath. Where is Jesus to be found in these polls? This is not from God's point of view.
It would be really interesting to find people who understand law and gospel and see if they're falling away from the church. I really doubt that that's happening, because when the disciples fell away from Jesus, even Peter denied him 3 times, Judas betrayed him, it's because they did not understand at all law and gospel, let alone justification by grace through faith.
I think that's an important point that you're bringing out, because that was, I thought, kind of buried in this polling. People only went to church 1 or 2 times a month. And they weren't spending that time in the Word, in God's Word.
Well, a lot of Sunday schools, first of all, a lot of churches don't have Sunday schools. And then when they do, they're often topical rather than biblical, like on global warming. I was given some Sunday school material where they were showing that an amoeba leads to a lizard, leads to a monkey, leads to a man, and that's how the world was created. They actually had those kind of drawings of that, and it was so sad because, of course, Genesis 1 was contradicted as well as the words of Jesus.
Right, and just this past week, I caught 5 minutes on one of the cable business network channels. And a couple of them were Christians from the Episcopalian Church, and they were lamenting how their pastors were out talking about raising taxes, taxing the poor, environmental, and they weren't getting down to the business, and the business that they were interested in was Christ crucified.
Yes, a lot of churches are getting involved in politics. I was watching a television series of events, and there was an election for the mayor of a big town, and it was at a church, and the pastor was encouraging people to vote a certain way for a different purpose, a different man than who already was mayor. And the people were, you know, raising their hands, and he was using something from Exodus, talking about proper leadership. But Jesus was never mentioned. The cross was never mentioned. Forgiveness was never mentioned. It was just a political stump speech.
Right. And I think that's an important distinction, is where is Jesus to be found? I mean, is it Christ crucified? Our people, if they're trained properly in the scriptures, they'll make the right decisions.
You know, I think there is a group of people who have really learned about law and gospel. And those are people that were not at one time Lutheran. They may have been another religion or no religion, but then they became Lutheran. And we hear a number of them on Issues Etc., for example, and other programs on KFUO. What a difference Lutheranism has made for them with this proper distinction on law and gospel. And they're so satisfied. And have you not noticed that sometimes the newer members of the congregation that come through adult confirmation appear to be more active in the church than occasionally others?
Oh, yes. In fact, in my last parish where I was at up in Nevada, one lady led to 10 baptisms and I don't know, four or five more adults coming in through the family.
I found the same thing, that once they became members, then they would be telling their neighbors, their relatives, their friends about it. And it wasn't long before they were attending. That's why, this may sound strange, but why Lutheran pastors appreciate funerals. Because you get a lot of people there who aren't Lutheran and may for the first time be hearing these distinctions between law and gospel. Namely, there's nothing you can do, say or think, that gives you a chance of getting to heaven, but it's a free gift given to you by Jesus Christ because of his death and resurrection. And how many times have I finished a sermon and people walk out saying something either along the lines, I'm going to have to think about what you said, or I've never heard this before.
Or, and that takes us completely away from the poll. That's why I question the sampling. It was random, and it may be what they think the population's out there. But, you know, I would do polling or sampling, and I worked through the district office with congregations as we work through some of the issues and ministry issues and things like that. But my sampling size was percentage-wise was a whole lot bigger. It would reach anywhere from 30 to 40 to 50 to 60% of the congregation.
Yeah, I noticed they surveyed 35,000 adults, but then they say, and had margins of error of less than 1 percentage point. Now, that Kentucky governor who got elected by, 14 percentage points over the polls, those polls also said there was only about a 2 to 3% error rate. And it was 14%. So I don't know how they figure out how a poll can be just a 1 percentage point of error when the election finally takes place and it's a 14%.
Yeah, well, if your questions are generic like they were in the polling that they had, you're not going to cover it. You know, do you have a belief in God? Well, yeah, I have a belief in God, but it doesn't tell you who God is, what God is about, whether it's from an old nature or a new nature from the Christian's point of view. It's just too generic.
Yeah, I'm going to say something here that this also shows the work that we, the church, have to do. If it is true, according to this young woman, that the apparently anti-science and anti-gay rhetoric of some churches are turning off young people, we need to do a lot better job in proclaiming the Word of God in its purity and explaining it. I think that's really happening in two areas. I think the fact that the majority of Americans do not believe in evolution as it is taught in many places, and also the majority of Americans now no longer believe that abortion should be allowed in any circumstance. Now we need to start working in the area of homosexuality. I said something, about 2 or 3 days after the Supreme Court okayed gay marriage, I said, be prepared to see an increase in suicides of homosexuals. Mm. I was kind of positive toward a certain program called Code Black. It began about 3-4 weeks ago. It's about a hospital emergency room. Code Black means that they don't have enough resources to take care of the people coming in due to accidents or shootings or this sort of thing. Most hospitals, they say, 5 times a year they go into Code Black, but this particular hospital does it 300 times a year, they said. Now, I was kind of really happy with the program because every new program, I just wait until the pro-homosexual point of view comes. And sure enough, unfortunately, it came last night in Code Black. But I think they did themselves some damage. What it was a young man had committed suicide because another boy had forced a kiss on him. The father was furious with the one who had forced the kiss because his son was dying and he finally did die. And at the end, he didn't want that one who had forced the kiss to be in the room when his son died. But here again, we had a lesbian nurse who said, well, there's one thing that's the same between you and this other young boy is both of you loved your son.
Oh, my.
I couldn't believe that anybody would even write that because the homosexual love is lust. The father's love is true love. So there's a huge difference between the two. And, of course, they always want to have a happy ending. And so the homosexual is allowed to come into the room to see his friend die. But what really was remarkable is the young man had committed suicide because of the forced kiss, and he was thinking, am I a homosexual? It proves my point that God builds into immorality consequences, and the gay community does not yet realize that, and that's something I think the church can talk about a lot. So while they tried to have a happy ending at the end, here was a young man who had committed suicide. And I really believe now that it's become legal, because God's repercussions don't go away just because the government says it's legal. Look at the women in abortion who years later become very guilty of what they have done, that we're going to see an increase in suicides among homosexuals because this is just not only against God's commands, it's just unnatural.
I would agree with you. I mean, and the polling came out that somehow Christians are more accepting today of homosexual, and I don't know about you, but I've never been against them. I've always invited them into our church to participate in worship services and things of that nature. It just never got into the nitty-gritty as you've been discussing it, and the serious side effects that these relationships have of suicide.
Well, we've done a great job in the area of abortion, the pro-life movement. And my good friend, who was a former field worker of mine, James Lamb, is president of that group. He's now retiring, and I'm really going to miss him because his articles are excellent. I imagine he'll still be writing. But be that as it may, I do believe that in time, if the church does its job properly, we can begin to inform our members why homosexuality is an abomination before Almighty God, contrary to nature, contrary to God's word. And as the Bible makes very clear, such people who continue to practice that and do not repent will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you don't love a homosexual, then be quiet. Just let them do their thing. But if you love them, you want to warn them of what they're practicing so that they might find the freedom in Jesus Christ to be able to break out of that particular addiction.
I would agree. And I think when we look at this polling, we're back to talking about our old nature or our new nature by our baptism, our old nature that seeks itself out, which we've been discussing with the homosexuals and the various pollings that go on. and the new nature looks at it from God's point of view. What does this word have to say? And the fact that we're all sinners, whether you're homosexual, whoever you are, but we find that grace through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. And we need to realize that a proper pastor points the finger not just at homosexuals, but at every member of the congregation who sinned by thought, word, and deed. And apart from repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, they would be lost forever. Well, I thank you very much, Wes, for being on today. Good topic that you chose. And we'll look forward to getting back with you next week, God willing. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Yep. Bye.
And I am Tom Baker, and you just listened to Wes Reimnitz, pastor in the Springfield, Illinois area. Tomorrow is Open Mic Friday. We'll open up if you have any questions about what we talked about or anything else. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.